And we hope these tips will help you to keep strong and just realize that you control more than you might think.
Yep.
And that in the long run, things will work out.
Exactly. And it may not feel that way now. It may feel really crappy right now and it may suck. But at the end of the day, sun comes up tomorrow, one foot in front of the other, you'll be fine. You'll work it out. Hello and welcome to the PyBytes podcast, where we talk about Python, career, and mindset. We're your hosts. I'm Julian Sequeira.
And I am Bob Beldebos. If you're looking to improve your Python, your career, and learn the mindset for success, this is the podcast for you. Let's get started. Welcome back, everybody, to the PyBytes podcast 101. We just passed 100 and we're back. Hi, YouTube, with a new episode. Here with Julian. Welcome. How are you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How are you? What's happening?
Are we recording? All right, yeah.
We are recording. I love it.
Remember, we did it once and we had half an episode going and we didn't hit record. Anyway.
Crap, we didn't hit record. Perfect.
Not glad this to be week. Back. Excited. Lots going on. So let's keep it tight and orderly. Let's do some wins. Yeah.
Big it's late, topic. Man. I'm going to bed. Roll.
And that too. And we finish off with the books.
Perfect. Excellent. All right. So you go first. What's the win of the week?
Well, it's still early, right? Wednesday. But yesterday we had a great, great code clinic session where we, Robin and myself demoed Fast API and Streamlit. And yeah, it was just really cool to do that with another coach and going back and forth. They had a very nice dynamic and got some really cool feedback from somebody after the demo. Today I was made aware of simple things like pre-commit files and Copilot showing bigger products like Fast API. Gives me that familiarity. So when I try it on my own, it isn't daunting and I remember some bits to help me jump back in. Right. So that's just a great reminder to developers. And we said that in the email before, teach this stuff, right? Because so you see in that lovely feedback that it's not even a Fast API Streamlit, right? It does all the tooling around it, seeing us work. Robin's setup is vastly different from mine. Like he tried to get me on VS Code and that he almost did, but I stuck with Jim in the end. Yeah, so all these little tidbits and stuff. And then, yeah, hearing that it's decreased this person's fear to dive back in and that motivation and inspiration that really made my day. So again, it's not only about the topic you're teaching, it's the whole ecosystem and context you're showing. And you're motivating people, and that's really cool. So, sorry, long story.
No, that's a huge win. I love it. Yeah. And that concludes today's episode. Thanks for tuning into the PyBytes.
No, I'm dying to hear yours. I know yours is super exciting as well. So.
Yeah, well, it's cool. But that was good. I mean, there's nothing quite like positive feedback. And to the individual who provided that feedback, I think it's also a good lesson. Here's another lesson for the episode. Give feedback. If you appreciate what someone's doing, give the feedback, because how good did that make you feel? Really good?
Amazing. Yeah.
I've never seen you so excited before.
By good or bad feedback, right? Like good feedback is always nice, but if it's more critical feedback, then you give that other person opportunity to improve. So that's also valuable. Yeah.
Love it. Okay. So my win. Awesome win. For those of you who've been longtime listeners of the podcast, you'll know that we have a coding platform that is a segment of it that's designed for schools, right? And we have schools across the US using it, and it's wonderful. We love it. And to all those teachers, if you are listening, thank you so much. We appreciate you using it. But one of the things that I've been thinking about is, well, what's something else we can create for schools that makes the entry point a little bit easier and eases them into the platform? Because ultimately, look, as the obvious goal for me, as I've mentioned on the podcast, is to get more schools, and if I can get Australian schools, even better, onto the platform, because it's such a wonderful way of learning, right? It's the best way of learning, if I do say so myself. And it blows everything else out of the water. But to get people to even look at it, and to get people aware of it, is the difficult part, as anyone in marketing will know. So I've been working on something for school teachers to have in their classroom, something physical and tangible to hold that doesn't involve like a subscription and anything like that to help them teach the students Python. So I'll the first prototype, I should say, or the first draft came out this past week and blew me away. I couldn't imagine anything better than this. It was just wonderful. So continuing work on that, that's my huge win of the week. But just to, if there's any teachers out there that are listening and have, you know, teaching their students Python and are curious, you know, drop us an email at info@pybites.es, and let me know, because I will definitely send you a copy of the draft and get your thoughts. On that note, students from around the world, friends of friends, cousins, nephews, nieces, whatever, are loving it. The thing that I've created, and so are the teachers that I've given it to. So I'm very, very excited by it. There you go. There's my long win. And that's amazing. The podcast.
Yeah, thanks for pushing that. That's huge. And I think we said last week as well, next generation, right? Getting the kids on the Python and hearing that they like our platform's approach better than the more overly gamey ones, it's just super exciting. And now having the handouts, something they can use independently in the classroom, physical paper, really nice design.
Yeah.
Yeah. That blew me away as well.
Getting the feedback from kids is always scary, because kids have no filter and they'll tell you exactly what they're thinking.
And so when
I had kids who had nothing to do with me, I'd say that it was freaking awesome, including my own kids who hate Python because of me. they did it. You know, my 10-year-old, he did it and loved it. I was like, can I do more? Can I do more? So, yeah, I love it. Anyway, so we're going to dive into the episode, everyone. Thank you for listening to those wins. I hope some of that was inspiring. Bob, what's the topic for this week? It's a pretty dire topic, isn't it?
Layoffs.
Yes.
Being in control.
Exactly. So I'll kick it off then. If you haven't had your head stuck in the sand, you'll know that the past couple of weeks, and if not months since November last year, have been pretty dire in the IT sector, specifically with the big, FANG companies, right? Hemorrhaging staff after COVID, you know, as the market's normalizing, they've committed to staff headcount and everything, and they have to shed staff or they'll lose money, whatever it is, right? It's reached a head. There are so many people getting hit by it. If you go on LinkedIn these days, all you see are messages from people in these big companies and even smaller companies as well, startups and the like, talking about being made redundant, being laid off. And it's not a great feeling. So we thought we'd talk to that a little bit on this episode. And the first thing I just want to say is, if there is anyone listening to this who has been laid off, you know, you have our empathies, right? Our sympathies, our empathies. And we just feel for everyone. It's a tough situation to be in. And I think the biggest thing I just want to have some commentary on, Bob, if that's all right, is just that these things are bound to happen, right? There is no safe job. There's no such thing. It's bound to happen no matter what. You know, markets turn and entire companies go out of business. It's going to happen, right? What the really disappointing thing for me, based on my values and the things I like to do in life, is how it has been handled. When you read the stories from people who've been laid off from these companies, how it's been handled by those companies is, in my opinion, disgusting. And I don't mind having a strong opinion about it, because I have strong opinions about many things. But when you hear that people were treated more like numbers, like cattle being led to the slaughter, hey, this whole group of people is going, so let's just tell them all at once. You know, there's zero personal touch.
Mass email, no human touch, right?
Exactly. And it's terrible. It is such a poor way of treating your staff, of treating people who have been loyal to you, who've committed to you for 10, 15 years, even if it's just a couple of months, you know, it's just a terrible feeling. It doesn't matter how much money you pay them, doesn't matter what the severance package is. If you treat people like that, they're never going to want to come back and work with you if things normalize, you know? So, yeah, to everyone out there listening, I'm sorry if you've been in that situation. I'm sorry for the people you know that might be in that situation. And I hope legitimately and honestly, I hope everything works out well for anyone you know in that situation. So on that note, I'll stop yapping. Bob, you take the first one. What we're going to do is, even though these things are happening, there are things you can do to stay in control of the situation. It doesn't matter what's happening in the industry with layoffs, with headcount, all that stuff. There are tips we have here that, you know, you can take and distill whatever it is and stay in control of the situation. And they're very important. So, Bob, you want to kick it off?
Sure. Tip number one, keep working on your skills, right? So, this is just something you need to constantly do, right? Work on your Python, see where Python is heading, or not only Python, programming overall, whatever your field is, right? This is very applicable to not only Python, just generically. Mm. And yeah, look at new areas, new niches you can develop your skills in. For example, Python for web development, because you like Python, right? We keep it Python. Python and data science, data engineering, and try to learn new skills, right? And keep evolving, keep adding things to your portfolio, your GitHub, your resume. And well, first of all, keep your resume updated, right? There are many people that just are not in the habit of updating that. And then it just doesn't reflect what you currently know and can offer companies. Same with the GitHub profile. Even your LinkedIn, right? Your social media presence. If you just keep working on it and putting more stuff out there, you just increase the chances of being more visible, being taken into account. And a lot of that goes with our favorite book, right? So Good That They Cannot Ignore You, which we have,
yep,
I think, quoted like 10 times by now on this podcast by Cal Newport. But it's kind of true, right? You build up career assets, as he calls it. And it's just a cumulative process, and also something we often quote is the compound effect, right? You don't do that one day, you do that like 365 days a year, and after 5 years you have a whole bunch of career assets you can lean on, right? And then because, as you said before, you cannot control when you might lose your job, or because even if you're the best in your job, the whole department might get
get the chop.
Yeah, exactly. But if you have those career skills, that shouldn't really impact you, because you already you just will be in demand, which actually ties nicely in back into the next one, which I'm going to give to you.
Thanks. No, I appreciate it. But actually, before I flick on to number two, I just want to say it's very easy not to do those things that you just talked about.
Jim Rohn again. Easy not to do, right?
Easy not to do. But the reality is, when you are in your work bubble, that work bubble of your life that everyone tends to build their life around their work, and then suddenly when a layoff happens and work's taken away unexpectedly, they crumble, they don't know what to do. A lot of the skill set that you built at work can be very particular to that workplace. Right. So it's important to keep building those skills, because when you are stagnating or just complacent in a job, you focus entirely on that job and not skilling up. You skill up in what it is you're doing every day, but it may not be skilling up in industry standards. So it's very important to remember to not just do internal training, not just skill up on the work specific stuff, but get out there, research new technology that has nothing to do with your job. You know,
that's a good point, actually, because in the Sundays, right, when you were servicing hardware and I was doing support, right, those skills were relevant back then, but they're not really relevant right now, apart from the, you know, generic troubleshooting skills, of course. But we always kept learning on the site.
That's right.
So you kept learning new technologies. I was doing web design and web development. And yeah, those are actually the skills that were extending.
Exactly. Those Sun hardware skills. Where we're not using them now. If anything, we're using that agnostic troubleshooting skill that came with it. So
right.
There you go. Okay, so number two, build your network. Now, who was it that said to you the other day, Bob, networking is just like an overused term for just getting to know people or something like that. I can't remember who said it to you, but when you shared that quote with me, I said, yeah, it's a good point. But the point here is build your network, right? When you do inevitably get laid off, or if that happens to you, it's your network that you're going to be leaning on the most. It's the people around you. I don't mean just your professional network. I'm talking about your friends, your neighbors, your people at swimming lessons, at church, whatever it is that you do, right? That's your network. And so building that and strengthening it and fostering it, investing time and care into it is important. And that's what networking is. That's exactly what it is. It's spending time on nurturing those relationships, right? So spend time every week, as we said in our email yesterday, spend time. It's a weekly thing. It's even daily to some extent, making time for people, spending time with people, providing value to people, and watch how that comes back when you need it, right? Because people will remember that. People will remember the person who gave them time when they needed some support, when they needed a question answered, when they needed some mentoring on something, when they needed just a shoulder to cry on or to listen, an ear to listen to them. So focus on it, be intentional, and that doesn't mean be insincere. That means intentionally tell people you want to spend time with them. Email someone, tell, like, I've got a bunch of people that I absolutely adore across many different workplaces and companies, and I put them in my calendar, and I have meetings with them every month, right, just to say hey. No need other than just to keep that relationship going. So it's a struggle with you, Bob. Having to talk to you every day is very difficult, but I push it because it's important. So
people might notice we catch up on this podcast. Yeah. No, very similarly to one, right? This is something you constantly have to do, because some people take networking like, well, when the inevitable happens, I'm going to look around, and then their network is not that robust or big. So this is just something you have to constantly do, come from a value add perspective of, it's basically just helping people as well, right? And that's just fun, feels good. And you meet incredible people, and they will shift your thinking. So you just learn a lot from other people as well. And it's not, again, one of these things, easy to do, easy not to do. Like, it might take you 5-10 minutes to help somebody, and it can have a lasting impact that might lead to this person remembering you when you are in need, giving you an opportunity that might actually change your career. So that's completely amazing, right? So,
and that's actually, and I'll give you everyone a quick tip on this, is one of our favorite quotes as well. To be interesting, be interested. Okay. And that ties in with my favorite. It ties in with my favorite quote for my kids. You have two ears and one mouth. Use them in proportion, right? So listen, listen more than you speak. And this is ironic coming from me, the mouth himself, right? But
the extrovert of the team.
I love to talk. But the reality is, when you take an interest in people, and I don't mean like an interest just in the job, but ask a question. Like, Bob, you've perfect example. For those of you watching this on YouTube, look at the background behind Bob, right? What's the question I could ask him if we were teammates or even extended colleagues? If I wanted to foster this relationship, I could say to Bob, hey, by the way, those plants behind you, like, tell me about them. Where'd you get them? Or what is that? Is that a cactus? Or it looks like you're pretty high up. Like, what's out that window? Just, I'm curious. Be interested. And then next thing you know, Bob's going to tell me all about his amazing unit overlooking the Mediterranean Sea. And I'm just kidding. But but that's how you build conversations, right? That's how you build these relationships. And then to nurture that, next time I see something about the Mediterranean or I see something about cactuses, I'm going to message Bob and say, hey, I found this great article. I saw something about the Mediterranean. Like, man, it's just beautiful where you live. You're a really lucky guy. And Bob's going to remember that. That's going to be very different to someone who just got on the call, had the chat, got what they needed, and left. So there's a difference. So I'll stop yapping. Bob, you go number three.
I was not going to invite you over, but I think you earned it now.
I did. Thank you. All right, number three, go for it.
Move on. Yeah, number three, double down on productivity. So why? Well, we hear like people seem busier than ever, right? And we think part of that is also because of the layoffs and the side effect of companies just trying to get more out of people, right? So the units of work per person per week. So we're just busier, right? But this is kind of a double-edged sword, right? So you want to scale up productivity to give as much throughput, right? To kind of to stack the odds in your favor, right? But then there's also the balance aspect that if you work harder, hopefully you can have a reasonable 9-to-5 and have time for yourself, right? For your family. 40 study and working on your career assets, as we mentioned in number one. But also just to have downtime, because we just noticed, like, taking weekends off. We spoke about it quite a lot, but it's worth repeating, right? Like, we sprint very hard from Monday to Friday, and then we have like weekends off, and then there's where the actual reflection happens. There's where we get new ideas. There's where we course correct. There's where we come back on Monday, like, let's stop do this and that, and let's do more of that, this and that, right? So, yeah, productivity is just a triple win, right? You're increased the odds of delivering and staying on board if you want that. You work on yourself, which you should always do. Like, again, Jim Rohn, right? Work as hard on yourself as you do on the job, or work harder on yourself as you do on the job, right? Because ultimately, as you said before, the skills you might be using in the job are become obsolete and you have to move on, right? And thirdly, have time for yourself, because you need to reflect. You need to keep the high level focus. And if you're working 80 hours, then you just get in a rut, you know?
Yep.
Sorry. Yep. Does that cover it?
I think it does. I was just enjoying listening to that. That was great. I forgot we were recording a podcast. No, you're bang on. And at the end of the day, like, people might say, well, how am I supposed to do that, Bob? You know, and that's where having the right, and, you know, I know you're going to say, oh, here we go. Here comes the sales pitch for the productivity course. And yeah, you're right. Here comes the sales pitch for the productivity course.
Blip, blip.
No, the reality is we, you know, with the right techniques to really take control of your time and your day, then you will actually get more out of the business day so that you can knock off earlier. And it might even be something as simple as, hey, yeah, don't stand around and have water cooler chats every 15 minutes.
Mm.
You know, turn off notifications. We won't go down that rabbit hole. There's plenty of other episodes you can listen to about that. But point is, get the right techniques down, smash your productivity during the day, get time for yourself. And this, do you mind if I move into the next one, Bob?
Yeah. Have some more. Okay.
Perfect segue into number four, which is watch your health and well-being. You know, keep an eye on your health. It may seem, what does this have to do with layoffs and being in control of your career and everything? Well, the reality is if you're not on top of your health, you are not at the top of your game, right? If you're constantly sick, if your immune system's down because you're crook, if you are not in shape, so you're constantly coming down with whatever ailment. And our biggest one that we're really big on tackling and being protective of is sleep. If you're not on top of your sleep and your mental health, everything else suffers, right? There's no point doing all the exercise in the world if you're getting 3 hours of sleep a night. Nothing's going to work, right? And there's plenty of sleep studies that show or prove all this stuff. You can go read anything by Matt Walker, his masterclass. Amazing.
It was just on the Tim Ferriss podcast. Yeah.
There you go. Oh, I've got to listen to that if he was. Thanks. Mm. Because I love his delivery style in that masterclass. It's awesome. But here's a perfect example. I actually meant to tell you this, Bob, so you'll find out about this right now. I cracked out the Guitar Hero games a couple of weeks ago over Christmas while the kids were on holidays. And, you know, you have to play like a fake guitar, so you got to get your strumming down right and pressing the buttons at the top of it. And I play on the hard difficulty, one down from expert, because, you know, I'm pretty proud of that. But when I played the game at like 2 p.m. on one of the holiday days, I was smashing it, right? And I was enjoying it. And I thought, I'm going to come back tonight when the kids are asleep and I'm going to play the same song, see if I can get an even better score. And no lie, when I came back at like 10:30, 11 p.m., just before I went to bed, I was exhausted, been a long day. We've been in the pool, all that sort of stuff. I did worse than the 2 p.m. slot. I could not keep up and my fingers just wouldn't move the way they wanted. And I 100% attribute that to the fatigue, to being tired. And it made me think, and I wanted to reflect on this for everyone, is imagine if you're only getting a few hours of sleep a night. That's how your body's reacting to your entire day. You're just slow. You're slow to pick up on things. You're slow to react to things. And so keep on top of your health. Keep on top of that mental health. Take the breaks. Do what you can to protect yourself. Because when you are fighting fit, both physically and mentally, you will ace everything else that you aim to do with your day. So there's my...
And it's insidious as well, right?
Like rambling there, spew.
There we have that word again, insidious, that you might think that you're doing well, but you actually might make less optimal decisions and just don't realize that in a moment till later, right? So
yeah,
sleep is paramount.
Perfect. All right, last
as
one.
As well as number five, adopt a positive mindset. Mindset.
Nice. You take it. You try and tackle this one.
Well, actually, blanking. What do we have for this one? I guess it's just like, whatever happens, right? We can basically sit there and complain, and there's a lot to complain about, right? But that doesn't really get you anywhere. It even makes things worse, right?
Yep.
Or you can just adopt a growth mindset, I think it's called. Where you just, it's from Carol's Dweck's work, right? Like I always remember that word yet, right? Like yes. I don't know this yet. Like you're acknowledging that it's all possible, right? It's just a matter of putting in the effort. I'll leave the mindset to you. You have something to say about this.
Oh, I'm like, I got something to say. Yeah, so I'm ready to go. But no, you're bang on, right? There's so much to this. So using this layoff example that we've been talking about this episode, like I mentioned, pretty bad the way companies have handled this, right? So here's the question that people should ask themselves. Am I going to sit there and am I going to dwell on it? Am I going to sit there and be sour at the company and hold resentment? Am I going to be angry? Is every conversation going to be about this? Or if we're going to use the term positive mindset, are you going to sit there and say, it's out of my control? What's done is done. This was not about me as a person. This was not about my performance. This was about the company as a whole. I just happened to be the wrong place at the wrong time or the right place at the right time. Maybe this is a good move for me. Maybe this is a shakeup to my routine and my life that I needed. Maybe this allows me to go travel and broaden my horizons. Maybe I can finally chase that little business I want. And so in this moment, you can see that choice. There was that choice down the line that I just made in that conversational bit there. That wasn't something someone told me. I didn't have to research anything to do that. That was just me. Am I going to choose to look at this negatively, to stress, to worry, to panic, or am I going to choose to adopt the, as you said, Bob, the yet? Am I going to choose to adopt that growth mindset and move forward from this? Because the reality is, if I stick in the former, and I focus on what's happened, and just be angry about it, is that going to change anything? No, absolutely nothing's going to change. I'm not getting my job back, no matter how much I complain about it. Right, that I was laid off. So in this instance, I'm going to focus on what I can do. I don't have a job yet, but I've got plenty of other things I can do with my time now. I'm free of those shackles, and now I can go seek somewhere that I might be more interested and more supported and appreciated. Maybe this was a good sign, so on and so forth, right? I could go on for hours here, but the reality is you have a choice in how you react, and whether that was what, I never know how to say his name, Epictetus?
Yeah.
The Stoic, right?
Epictetus? Yeah. The Stoic.
It's, It's not what happens to you, but how you react to it that matters.
Mm.
And same thing from the seven habits, right, that Stephen Covey talks about. The thing that makes us unique is that we can put ourselves, we can step out of our bodies and have perspective on our own situation. We can be that fly on the wall and analyze our situation. And we have a choice, and we always have a choice. So that's the positive mindset. If we're going to put a generic term to it that sounds a bit flippant, it's adopting a mindset that allows you to move on from it and really make the most of your time. Don't waste a second with resentment. Don't waste a single second being angry and frustrated, because what's done is done.
Yeah, so, no, I learned this from experience as well, because a long time ago, I went for a job interview and a former colleague went as well and they picked him. Right? I was really disappointed, right? I mean, obviously, it was a good choice as well, but I thought I had done very well in the interview, and you know, I really wanted that job. Some ego, maybe, I don't know, but later turned out that the trajectory, the alternative path I then took, led to all the good stuff, including meeting you and Son and everything that followed, right? So I would have. So that really got me thinking, like, wow, like. It was actually, so although I was very frustrated in the moment, it turned out that the alternative path was just a better path. And so, yeah, you see people now in this situation often reacting like, or they freak out and they're constantly like, it might be me, it might be me, it might be me, right? And that just constantly on their mind, and they're not working towards 1, 2, 3, 4 we have just mentioned.
Yep.
Or they have a mindset like, well, although it sucks, it might actually be the best thing that might happen to me. You don't know, but you know. Maybe it's kind of a universe thing. It's a bit woo-woo, right? But it's sometimes these nasty things just open up new pathways that in the grand scale are just better, right?
Hmm.
So, oh, exactly. Yeah, that's a cool thing to consider. Yeah.
Well, you just reminded me two things quickly. I had the same situation. I don't know if you know this story, but when I was an intern at Sun, after my internship finished after the year, I was out looking for jobs before I got hired back full time. And one of the jobs I went for, I got through a couple of rounds of interviews and the final roles with their CEO. It was a pretty small IT company, a small company of some sort. And it was to work in their IT department. And the CEO actually told me this in his office. And we're in North Sydney, and I'll never forget this. He said, with your skill set on Sun hardware and Unix and everything like that, don't take this job. I don't want to give you this job, even though you're entirely qualified. I don't want you to take this job because you have such experience and such niche experience with this. You'd be better off looking for a position that can use it. And I honestly feel like at the time, it was the biggest gut punch. I felt so bad. That I felt like I was being crucified for my experience, right? But in hindsight, it's probably the best decision I made, because I ended up coming back to Sun and then met you, and you know, the rest is history. And to the second point I wanted to make, and I know everyone, if you're listening, especially if you're in the situation of being laid off, it sounds like a cop out to say, oh, everything works out in the end. But the thing I want you to consider is look back. Okay. There's one of those few times, look back. Look back on your history from your childhood, and everything frustrating, negative, bad, whatever that's happened to you has led to you being the point you are at now. And so everything has a way of working out, for better or worse. It works out, and you are where you are, and that's just it. You're just going to keep putting one step in front of the other and move on. It's never going to be perfect, but as long as you keep stepping forward, that's all that matters. So bit of a dad talk there as well, I think.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful way to end.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Although we have one more thing, the books.
What's that?
The reading.
Oh.
What you're reading?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm reading, it's funny, I was reading a book on digital nomad stuff, just out of interest. I can't remember the call. It's a Lonely Planet book. I found it in the library. So I'm reading that at the moment. It's just fun. There's obviously no way I can do it because of the kids and stuff, but it's fun. The pictures are good.
Yeah, and I love libraries, man. You go there, and although I own a lot of books, there's still something new there, right? And you have like these random finds. Like today was at the library quickly, and found a book on influencers. Like my typical read, right? But I just pick up a book like that maybe to get some marketing tips.
Oh, like social media influencers.
Yeah. like not something I would typically read or buy, right? But then you just stumble upon it and just those random finds.
If anyone wants to see Bob doing TikTok dances, please send an email to
that's to not us. Going to be the consequence of that, or maybe it will be. Maybe we'll see some surprising trends. Nice. No, but I didn't want to mention, I just wanted to call out the library again, but one AJ, shout out AJ, actually mentioned, if I can pull up the chat in the books channel, Rick Rubin, ooh, The Creative Act.
Mm.
And I started reading that. Pretty inspiring. It's kind of, if I may quote, if I can find it, a book that might knock something loose and get you to rethink something. So I love those books that make you rethink existing beliefs. I just got a bunch of inspiration so far, because we're all artists in a sense, right? And it has a lot to do as well with what we spoke about today, right? Building your own network presence, your brand and all that. And so in the content creation process. So it's a pretty good read so far.
Awesome, man. I love it. Yeah, I'll have to grab that from the library when I go back. Probably go on Friday.
It's pretty new, so I'm not sure if they have it already. But
you never know. If not, I'll just sit in a bookstore for 10 hours and read. Yeah, good luck. All right. Well, look, thank you so much, Bob, for joining me this week. Everyone, thank you for listening and putting up with us as always. Enjoy having your company. It's like I'm sitting in a room with everyone listening at the same time.
Yeah, we should do a live as well.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Actually, there's another thing. If you want to see us live recording a podcast on YouTube or something like that, you should let us know in the, actually, if you're on YouTube now, let us know in the comments or.
Oh, yeah. Place send us a comment. Email. Or just info that. At PyBytes. Yeah.
Yeah.
A bit longer episode. Thanks for sticking around. And we thought this was an important topic to talk about. It's very...
especially what's happening at the moment.
There's a lot happening and it's on the minds of a lot of people. And there's definitely fear. And we hope these tips will help you to keep strong and just realize that you control more than you might think.
Yep.
And that in the long run, things will work out.
Exactly. And it may not feel that way now. It may feel really crappy right now and it may suck, but at the end of the day, sun comes up tomorrow, one foot in front of the other, you'll be fine. You'll work it out. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
Adios. Cheers. See ya.